This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning to you on this Monday morning. 94 WIP. So rain is not in the air, but it's in the forecast. About 5 o'clock today. Let's hope this Phillies game gets in. I'm fillied up. I've got the uniform in, on.
You are especially fillied up.
You can watch this on YouTube. You can see how ridiculous I look.
It's not ridiculous.
Or exceptional. Man. Thank you, John.
Well, it's not exceptional either.
That's right. And by the way, the belly shows extra when I wear the uniform. Because I can't.
You think so?
Well, there's no hiding it. Because you're used to seeing a svelte.
Are you usually thinking about
player.
Hiding the belly?
No, but I just noticed in the past that it has looked particularly bad when I wear this. Because, you know, we know what it's like to look at an athlete, and then you see me.
Well.
And so, you know, I'm a little self-conscious about that.
Really?
A little bit. But I'm getting my walks in, John. Get my walks in.
Okay.
I got to do more than that, though. I admit I got to do more. By the way, I was thinking over the weekend, maybe I should wear the uniform just to mock Fritz. Like, wear this while I play basketball against him and beat him.
Yeah, good luck.
Or tennis. Like, could you imagine? I mean, I think I've got, you know, movement capabilities with this thing.
Well, you're supposed to. It is an athletic uniform. You should be able to move.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like the ideal.
The problem
jump
is not the
thing.
Uniform. The problem is you, the athlete.
I got this, man.
Will you
this.
Shoot the with the gloves on?
Will I shoot with the gloves on? That I would not, though. Okay. But maybe for golf.
Oh,
we're a glove or two for golf. All right, 215-592-9494. All jokes aside, check us out on YouTube. Our show's on YouTube right now. And we'll be, other than Fridays when we're at Borgata, Monday through Thursday, every day, you can see us live on YouTube, which means you can look at how ridiculous I look.
Did you fix the belt?
I got a new one. I didn't buy it. I got
you
a new one about 2 years ago.
The belt?
Well, because it was mangled.
I know.
Yeah.
What happened to that belt? It looked like the dog who ran the bases for you ate the belt.
You know why, John? Because my waistline was increasing and it burst the belt.
Are you serious?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why it got bad, but it got bad. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to this Yankees thing in a moment.
Holy cow.
I mean, somehow it fell apart, so I don't know what happened.
It did.
I know.
I think it's possible that your waistline actually did explode the belt.
I know.
So that's a bad sign.
I know.
Okay.
I don't know what else, you know.
Well, you know, like, you are starting to exercise and do all that, so it's
did
a
you
great
exercise over the
step.
Weekend?
Walk. Just the walks. But I'm picking up my pace and my frequency.
Oh, just, good.
Wait,
yeah.
Hold on. Just
really walking
walks.
Hard.
So it sounds like you really didn't do.
All right, let's go to the phones. Ron and Monica. Ron, good morning.
Hammer.
Ron.
What did you get? What are you, a fatso now? What
no, but it's you know, increasing. Increasing.
I don't think fatso is appropriate, Ron.
It's a little rude.
Fatso is not a word we throw around.
It's a little rude these days, man.
Yeah.
You don't use that word in 2025.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, I can take it.
You can't say fatso.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Ron. What?
I can't say fatso. Okay.
I don't think.
Okay, so this is for you, John.
Yeah.
First series, two major players out on a DL. I told you they're going to get hurt.
Well, they're not on the IL, for what it's worth.
They were out for the series, right?
Yeah, they missed a couple games. I mean, Real Muto missed one.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you. Did you see that thing yesterday they called a lineup?
Mm-hmm. You talking about the Sixers or the Phillies?
Oh, my God.
Listen, Ron, two guys got hurt. I mean, I know. And then Sosa got a little banged up. It's not the end. Well, do you blame them? Do you blame JT for fouling a ball off his foot? That's what it was, right? A foul ball off his foot?
My point is, they're hurt. They're not available.
Correct.
I don't want to talk about all that other crap. If you're not available, you're not available. Okay? They need to be available. Okay? And the fan base...
Yeah, Ron, this sounds like you're being a little irascible here.
You're being,
in the words, hit the ball off his foot.
I'm not.
You know what?
No,
you're,
I'm not.
Here's what you're being. Hold on. I got to find it. Where is he? From the Shawshank. God darn it. My board's got too many pieces of audio now. I can't. Okay. The obtuse thing. You're being obtuse. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Can you be so obtuse?
Here's my thing, okay?
What?
First of all, there's two horses in life. There's two, okay? There's the horse that responds to sugar and the horse that responds to the whip. Okay, it's time to take the whip out on this team.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Listen, Ron, after the first minute of your call, I tend to doubt anything you say thereafter. Ron, give me an answer. What's a phrase or a title that's got a body part in it?
Achilles heel.
Yeah, that's a good answer, actually.
That's a good one, yeah.
God, I hate when he comes up with something good at the end of a bad call.
That was a very sensible and strong answer right there.
Because I wanted to say, don't let the door hit your ass or whatever that thing is on the way out. What's that thing? Don't let the door hit you on the
Where
ass.
The good Lord split you.
Well, that's a whole nother one. But that doesn't have
Guys,
body part
in the title. You're taking some good ones. That would have been a votable answer.
I know.
Right there.
I'm just saying, Ron.
That one.
That was a bad call by Ron. All right, Yankees. Wow. Yankees. Seltzer, can you please detail... For everyone listening, some of whom know what you're about to say, some of whom don't, this torpedo bat thing and the potential problem for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so I'm shocked this hasn't happened yet. You know, it's one of those things where when it happens, you're like, wait, why didn't other people think of this sooner? Mm-hmm. So the Yankees have an MIT physicist on staff, and he had the thought, why don't we take some of the wood that's at the top of the bat where players don't really hit it very often, and when they do, they just they don't make good contact anyway, and move it to the sweet spot of the bat. Like, they obviously did the analysis to see the area where players hit the ball the most and where the barrels are, so to speak.
And let me just jump in and say one thing. They noticed that Volpe, one of their young players, hit the ball typically right below the barrel. So the barrel's where you want to hit it. But there's an area below the barrel, typically, that's more narrow, and that's where he frequently was hitting it. A little bit more of a guy that would get jammed, and that's where he was hitting it, but it wasn't barreled up.
Correct. So now they have essentially created more barrel space for where players usually hit the ball with the bat, and the results have been pretty amazing.
And
I mean, they scored 20 runs on Saturday, 12 yesterday. I mean, they're hitting bombs everywhere.
And the bat is legal. See, that's the problem, John. The problem is this bat actually, because there are actual rules for a baseball bat in the major leagues. And the bat complies with the rules.
So are they going to have to go and
they might have to change the rules
to outlaw the bat?
And can they do that?
Tush push ask.
It is tush push ask. And can they do that during a season?
And if not, the Phillies should go and order them immediately.
If not, everyone will.
Yeah,
yeah.
Guys,
I mean,
the Yankees hit 15 home runs in three games.
It was insane.
Hit 15 home runs in three games. As Kevin Stocker said yesterday, it was interesting. Late in that game, when the game was obviously drifting away from the Phillies, Stocker and Fransky were going back and forth the last three innings, just talking about it a lot. And I thought Stocker had a pretty good analogy. He said the bat, because people are calling it a torpedo bat, what he said is it reminds him of a bowling ball pin. It does kind of look like that. And so you have an extra section that's thicker, and a lot of players hit it there. And he also gave the analogy, and I thought this is another good analogy, how in golf, if you like to golf, you know, sometimes people will get fit at clubs, and that's a wise thing to do, because a golf pro can fit the clubs to how you swing. So, you know, they can change the angle of things based on the way you come down when you strike the ball. And so, you know, this Yankee smart guy figured out, well, our players hit the ball in a certain spot. Let's put more wood in that spot. But I mean, John, like, it does create a hell of a problem for baseball if it's legal, and I don't know if you're allowed to change the rule in the middle of the year. And the year just started. I don't know.
I don't know how much wood you can add to that spot. Like, eventually.
Well, that's why they had to take wood away from another part of the bat. Like, I think you have to keep the same amount of wood.
Weight.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
That's what's.
Because you never hit the ball. You never hit the. I mean, one out of 1,000 times, you hit it off the very, 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 very. One out of 1,000,000 times off the very, very, very end of the bat.
And even when you do,
you never hit that.
You're never get. Your best chance is a squibber where you beat it out. Like,
or
that's
a
best
foul
case.
Ball anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying best case scenario. You're likely not going to get a hit, is the point.
So I don't know what the solution is, but it is ironic on a day we're talking about the tush push and the fact that that could go, because I'm sure a lot of people listening right now say, get it out. And not just because the Yankees have it, because even if the Phillies get it and all 30 teams get it, I mean, that's not going to be fun. And it's going to destroy the record book and stuff. So, I don't know. We'll take your reaction. I mean, it's a developing story. Part of me is surprised the Yankees didn't wait until the postseason, John, to be honest. Because if they had sprung it during the postseason, that would have caused a whole nother matter.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
right.
Think about that. All right, 215-592-9494. Your reaction to all this, including the Phil's first series down there in D.C. in the home opener today. Joe DeCameron, John Rich, it's 94 WIP. But it is the home opener today. Phil's come back 2-1, which isn't so bad. 3-0 would have been nicer. Oh, yeah. Well, they weren't that deep down south. They weren't down in Louisiana. They were only down in D.C. the last couple days. But they are back and will be in front of us for the first time this year. Imagine this. The last time the Phillies played a game at Citizens Bank Park, they got a tremendous playoff victory. Game 2, if you remember, they were in a hell of a hole, down 1-0 and down in that game. Came back with that win and then completely... I was going to use a phrase I'm not allowed to say. The bed up in New York. You know what I'm saying? So look, they're back today.
They went to bed.
They slept with the fishes in New York. So they're back today. And obviously, look, hopes are high, as they should be. Phil's, pretty good job down in D.C. No, not yesterday. Nola struggled, gives up 5 runs, gives up 2 homers, a 3-run shot, a 2-run shot. Bats really did nothing yesterday. Biggest at bat of the game from a Philly standpoint was Alec Bohm with that opportunity with the bases loaded, 1 out, grounds into a double play. That was pretty much it. But there's a lot from the weekend to take in, both good and bad. My biggest takeaway was how fierce the competition will be for who starts in the postseason. And there's a good and a bad to this. I mean, there's more good than bad when you have 5 options. Now, Ranger hasn't pitched yet and won't, for a little bit of stretch here. But the fact that Lizardo pitched as well as he did was outstanding. The fact that Nola didn't isn't so good. And I really do wonder, John, if he's their second best starter anymore. I wonder if he's their third best starter. I wonder if he's their fourth best starter.
It's gotten a lot more crowded.
A lot more.
Lizardo,
man,
was amazing.
Yeah.
Aaron Nola, it's, man, really lackluster. I expected it to look a little sharper, like a little more bite on the curve and everything else. But Luzardo had that. Luzardo had that bite, that shape that they just couldn't figure out. I was excited about the fact that our approach offensively, I mean, despite, losing the last game of the series and Nola feeling.
Are you
going to
say their approach was different?
I thought their approach was good.
Because I don't know that it was different. They hit a lot of home runs. I don't know that it was different.
Look,
I'm not sure.
I'm troubled a bit by the fact that it didn't seem like we were able to hit their starters. Now, it's, again, small sample size. Right. They're coming out the gates. They pitched well. I'll accept that. But, man, Luzardo outstanding. Their pitchers seemed outstanding also. I was excited for Bryson Stott being able to show that he's back. He's able to poke that thing out. Got it right over the into the bullpen on Saturday.
Did.
And he said after the game that he would not have been able to do that, to sort of get down and muscle that out were it last year because of the injury and the, and the elbow and everything else. So that's a huge deal. I thought that the approach, the proof that the approach was good, Joe, is that in three games, we're now fourth in all of Major League Baseball in terms of walks. So fourth in baseball with 18 walks, right behind the Dodgers, who have 21 walks. But that's in five games.
I will say this, though, and I love that stat, John. It's a good fact. Most of that was against a garbage Nationals bullpen.
Yeah, they scored a lot. True.
I mean, that's a team that's going to win, you know, 65 to 70 games. Their team stinks. Their bullpen stinks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I appreciate that the Phillies feasted on that. But I also know, you know, come postseason. And look, the Phillies play the Dodgers in a couple of days, guys. So we'll get an early and you know, part of me wishes was a little later in the spring or summer, but we will find out early how the Phil size up against a team that obviously is currently the best in baseball. 5-0.
And the Braves got swept.
The Braves got swept. That's right.
Did not have a win.
Three less walks than the Dodgers right now in two less games. 52 less at bats.
Yeah. All right.
So, you know, they are doing a good job with it.
All right. So your reaction to the Phil's opening series, also your sense of anticipation and excitement for the home opener today, and the tush push. It could go. We'll see if it does. It could go. Also, we'll get you set for the home opener as we move through the program. Some of the new stuff down at Citizens Bank Park, we'll get to that shortly. If you're headed down there today, gates open at 12:35. So they got one of those block parties going on. Obviously, you can hang out outside the stadium for a good stretch of time. But the gates open at 12:35. So if you're headed down, especially if you got the kids, go have fun today. Keep them out of school and go watch some baseball. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. And are you worried about the tush push? It might go. It really might. Does it worry you? Richie in Northeast Philly. Richie, good morning.
John, Joe, Rhea, James, as somebody who listens every day, again, thank you for such wonderful content. It gets a lot of us through work and through the beginning of our day, and I appreciate it for one, and I know others do
as
well.
Thanks, buddy.
Rich, you're the greatest, man. Thank you.
No problem, John. So as somebody who listens routinely on headphones on the app today, I'm actually watching on YouTube for the first time. So let me tell you, Joe, one thing is very clear that you have no shot against Jack Fritz.
Why? Why? Come on, man. I'm an athlete. Natural born
My
athlete.
Goodness. You should probably stick with the Batman costume because at least that one has a mask instead of the baseball costume. That's what I would go.
I know, man.
So can I piggyback off of something that you guys talked about on Friday with the Phillies and the shadows?
Sure, yeah.
So the shadows, we're talking about baseball being played in daytime for, you know, well over 100 years, and why is it such an issue now? Do you think there's any correlation with the fact that over the past 10 years we've been talking about increased spin rate?
Yes.
Going along with the shadows?
Okay. Yes, but I don't know that it's I don't know that it's more of an issue in baseball now than it used to be. I'm not sure, Richie. I do remember it, I think, in San Diego back in the day. I think it just might be ballpark construction. I'm not really sure. Guys like Ben Davis and Rubin, who've played in all the ballparks, could speak to it way better than me. I don't know that it's worse than it ever used to be, but it was noticeable, obviously, in particular on Thursday.
Yeah, it just seems to me like as we hear more and more about spin rate and it's getting more difficult,
sure.
Guys are throwing harder than ever. That when you have, what is it, a quarter second to react? I mean, that's just, that's got to make it even harder, right?
It's got to be brutal. There's no, I mean, and they did specifically talk about spin rate after the game on Thursday. I mean, I heard some of the players saying that was a real thing. All right, Richie, give me an answer, my man. What is a phrase or a title that's got a body part in it?
Well, it's what's Fritz going to do to you. He's going to kick your ass, Joe.
Oh, man.
Oh, nicely done. Man.
Wow. All right. Just right out and said it.
What is the most famous kick your ass in Philadelphia sports? Actually, did he? I'm trying to think if he said it.
Oh, I'm going to.
I think he did, right? Chaney?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that. So it was, I'll kill you and I'll kick your ass.
Yeah, we should have the sound.
Now, if you're going to kill someone and kick their ass, do you kick their ass first and then kill them?
I'm assuming that,
to do it.
Because otherwise, you're just attacking a dead body. You know, you kill them and then kick the ass.
It's not the same, right?
It's not the same. I'm just joking around. All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Brandon right now. Brandon, good morning.
Hey, Joe. Know what these other teams remind me of?
I don't.
It reminds me of Joe DeCamera complaining after a beat the hammer of how James misworded a question even though he did it.
Well, that it was just a poorly phrased question on Friday.
I don't think it was.
I think
it made sense to everyone else.
You here, Joe. Does this seem familiar at all? I mean, just saying, you're going to be doing the same thing when you play Jack Fritz in basketball,
well,
calling penalties and complaining about some unneeded.
I do wonder about that.
Brandon, you know when I win the presidential election, when I win it, what's the first thing I do, Brandon? First thing, what is it?
Gloat?
Nope.
Complain?
Nope. Demand a recount. Because I want to win it again!
Oh, what? God.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah, that's the way I roll, man. So I it's a little bit of a gloat. It's a little bit of a complaint. But it's really just show me the results again. I won the election.
Anyway.
While putting busy work on others.
By the way, that's a line from the West Wing. I just want to put that out there. That's a whole nother matter.
Oh.
All right, Brandon, what do you got on the tush push, man? Are you outraged this thing might go?
Yeah, I am, actually, because it's not a guaranteed play. I mean, other teams try to run it, and they couldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, we're just good at it. We have a quarterback can squat 600 pounds. Why are we going to get penalized for that? I think Nick Sirianni said the best in the, what was it, draft meetings or something like that. It's just ridiculous, and I can't believe that is going to happen. Now, if it happens, I do have a question, though. Does that mean, like, if a running back gets pushed in the back after a handoff, like sometimes you see like a receiver push him, is that going to be outlawed too? How is it going to be worded?
Right. Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to dig into that. I think that no matter what, no matter how it's worded, we could figure out a way to put a play together that will be legal.
Well, so Brandon,
and similar.
Yeah. Look, first off, you know, with Hurts, if the tush push is banned, you've got a better quarterback sneaker than most teams because he's big and he's tough and he's strong. Mm-hmm. Carson, by the way, was very good at it, and Hurts obviously should be very good at it even if there's no push. But I will say this, Brandon, there's an interesting caveat to the way the Packers frame this. What they're trying to put in is you cannot push the quarterback immediately after the snap. Now, what does that mean? It means there might be a gray area there. The ball is snapped, then I push. Like, that's not immediate.
Yeah, if it's official there with a stopwatch.
Yeah, I mean, so I actually think, Brandon, the Packers' wording may work against them. Now, what I don't know is, does the competition committee have the leeway to determine what their own rule would be, or can they only vote thumbs up or thumbs down on what the Packers put in? Because if you don't immediately push, and let's be real, guys, 0.001 seconds later might not be immediate. It's not immediate. Then you could say it's still legal. I don't know. I mean, I just think the Packers put in faulty words that might help the Eagles, even if it gets zapped. Because I don't remember, this is just me, Goddard typically was the main pusher and then one other player, normally a running back. I don't remember it being instantaneous. Like, I feel like Hurts would get the ball, and I'll say a quarter of a second later, the push would happen. Not immediate.
Well, they're standing, you know, like 4 yards behind him, so it can't be immediate.
I mean,
yeah, there is a bit of a delay.
That's
just
my
based
point
on the distance.
So yeah, I think that was weird by the Packers. Brandon, give me an answer,
that is
my man.
Weird.
I notice
because that is easily defeatable, or however you want to put it.
I know. So keep your eye on that, Brandon. Give me an answer, my man. A phrase or a title with a body part in there.
I'm going to give you an answer, but I'm going to also ask a quick question. Also about the torpedo bats. I mean, is it just the Yankees allowed to order that bat? Like, how does that work?
There's
like
a couple other players on that bat. Them.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to start ordering it right now, Brandon, honestly.
Well, are they allowed to?
I kind of want one.
The Yankees came up with a bat.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. Brandon, give me an answer. What's a phrase or title with a body part?
Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
You got it, man. Brandon, appreciate the phone call. All right, let's close out our Twitter poll question of the day from the 6 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Today's Twitter poll, because we had two different questions. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. All right, the first poll question regarding the tush push. Do you think it will get banned? Tomorrow's the day they vote. Do you think it gets banned, yes or no? Second poll question. Well, before we get to opening up the second movie duo, John, let's close out the first movie duo, and let's all vote kind of quickly ourselves, and then we'll get to the result. Which of these from the 6 o'clock hour is the best movie duo? John, is it Doc and Marty from Back to the Future, Mike and Marcus from Bad Boys, Maverick and Goose from Top Gun, Woody and Buzz from Toy Story. Which would you vote for?
This is tough. Man, I'm going to go Doc and Marty here.
Okay. It's a reasonable answer. Seltzer?
I would go Doc and Marty also.
Ray, what do you got?
Mike and Marcus.
Yes.
I love their dynamic.
Whew. Look, I'm inclined to go Doc and Marty, but it's very close. All right, poll results. I got them in front of me. John, how do people vote?
I think Maverick and Goose are up there, too.
Woody and Buzz have advanced to the finals. Woody and Buzz with 34% from Toy Story. Doc and Marty, they're out at 32%. Maverick and Goose, 23%. Mike and Marcus from Bad Boys, 11%. So we open up a second now Twitter poll related to this topic, because we're trying to solve from Friday's show, what's the winning answer? Because we had all these great answers for a movie duo. So now here's this hour's Twitter poll. Same question, four different choices. A, C-3PO and R2-D2. That's big.
Sure is.
B, Shrek and Donkey from Shrek. C, Starsky and Hutch, and obviously from, you know, that movie. And then D, Thelma and Louise. So get voting. I mean, they're all big. They're all very, very big. At Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's talk about the Phils. Not only the team, but the ballpark. For a lot of people, it's going to be their first time in there. Well, for anybody, everybody, since game two of the playoffs. When the Phillies actually won their last home game last year, but then lost the next two up in New York to lose that series. So the local crowd, 44,000, whatever it is, will be in attendance today. Obviously a sold-out game, great team, home opener, 2-1 squad coming back from D.C. And our buddy John Brazier from the Phils to tell us the latest and the greatest with Citizens Bank Park. Because I saw all sorts of headlines, Brazier, about LED lights and home runs, and there's going to be light displays. And good morning, buddy.
I tell you what. I am here now. I got here very early. We have all the TV stations down here. And I tell you what, the LED ring displays that go around the ballpark, it's pretty awesome, I got to say. And then supposedly the sound system got big time renovated. And you're going to also see some things, as you mentioned, when Kyle Schwarber hits his home run today, you're going to see an Xfinity home run takeover. It's going to have a light show. It's going to be this. It's going to be an unbelievable experience. So again, when fans get into the ballpark today, they're going to see and hear things they never have.
That's cool.
Are there lasers, John? Do we have lasers?
Well, you got to have lasers, right? Now, yeah. I don't know if there's lasers, but well, I'm going to say there are lasers, right? Just to make it sound better.
That is beautiful.
So now, John, I don't mean to skew negative. I'm just curious. Do the lights have less impact in a day game? I would think they would, right? I mean, I can't imagine today's going to be as electric as tomorrow night.
It's light out now, and I got to tell you, it looks pretty cool with the signage. So, and then not just that, but out in Passanstow, and if you go into CB Rankin Club, the same thing. There's like this ring display. We call it a halo, and it has like sports little TVs. It'll have games, it'll have stats, all kinds of things when you come in. So all over the ballpark, there's a lot of cool new features.
And there's also this big X out there for Schwarber to try to hit a home run.
That's Xfinity, and that's what's the home run takeover. It's a signage that's out above Ashburn Alley, but when someone hits a home run, it literally is going to light up, and it has LEDs, and it's going to have its own light show. So it's going to be pretty awesome. Along with the bell.
Jeez, that sounds amazing.
How about that?
A lot of new... So all these lights are a feature for all these new-looking things, I guess.
Yeah, not just that. And you're also going to have some food and drinks, especially the drinks. We have a thing called Al Cappuccino Spiked Coffee out there available.
Al Cappuccino?
Al Cappuccino.
How do you think Al Pacino feels about that?
I don't know. He's probably suing us right now, right? I'm kidding. Garage beer, obviously, sure. Jason Kelce and his brother Travis. We're also going to have some Wrexham lager, some Rob McElhenney. So a lot of cool things. And then I know you guys are going to try the s'mores quesadilla when you guys come down here.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
I'll be happy to do that.
So, that's an incredible invention.
Let's talk about today. I know there's a new flag out there because last year was a division winning team, and that does merit a flag. I still don't think there should be one for 2023 because nothing was won. No World Series, no World Series appearance, or no division won. But anyway, that's a whole other matter. Is there a ceremony to unveil that flag today, or how does that go?
No, it'll be up there. No ceremony. Believe me, today we have a lot going on, so as far as ceremonies go on. If I can touch upon that, Joe, though, because that's going to lead me into it.
Yep.
You don't need a ticket if you come down here for the team store, which opens up at 9 a.m. So there is some absolutely incredible merchandise down there, a lot of Fanatic stuff, a lot of opening day stuff, a lot of 2024 NL East champion merch. And then also free for fans that don't have a ticket is a Budweiser Block Party, which is from 12:35 to 2:35. That's out on CB Way. You guys have done that before.
Yeah.
Where it's food trucks, beer tent, merch trucks, all kinds of things. The gates open at 12:35, and you had mentioned the pennant. All fans are going to get a 2024 NL East Champions pennant when they come into the ballpark. It's going to be great. You can hang it up in your office or at home. We do that traditional leadoff walk at 2:20. So make sure you're in your seats around 2:20. We're going to do a little highlight video. And then my favorite part is when they unfurl that giant American flag. We have Kane Cowell singing the national anthem. He's going to do it right by his dad's statue, which is always cool. And while he's doing that, we're going to have four F-16s that are going to do the flyover. And then we have the first pitch. We have Nemours Children's Health patient, 10-year-old Briar Jones, who is unfortunately hit by a truck, and now he's recovering great. Mm. And Brandon Marsh, actually, I just saw Brad Marsh last week, so that's why. Brandon Marsh surprised him on video saying he's going to catch him. So Brandon Marsh will out there catch him. Nice. Then we have a surprise first pitch. Of course, we always have to have a surprise first pitch, and you guys can start speculating
what
we are going to have.
You have hints?
Yeah, Brazier, I kind of...
It's not Joe DiCamera.
No.
That's your one big hint.
It's Richie, isn't it?
It's not Joe, John Richie either. It's not John or Joe. No James Seltzer either.
Are we allowed to guess?
Yes, they guess.
You can guess all you want.
Jalen
I won't
Hurts.
Confirm or deny it.
Ooh, an eagle. That's a good call. That's a good call.
I think
call.
It's an eagle.
That's
Sirianni call, or Hurts would make sense.
So Sirianni can't be because he's in the meetings.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Good call.
It's going to be Jalen or Brandon Graham
BG would
or
be huge
Saquon.
Too. Yeah, Saquon.
Ooh. Saquon would be awesome.
Well, speculate all you want, but all I know is about 250-something, you're going to see whoever it is doing it along with 10-year-old Briar Jones. So... Oh, and then a 3:05 start, and then hopefully we get out of the gate 3-1 with a win at home.
I would like that. Obviously, Sanchez today. All right, so John, final thing here. Twitter poll question of the day. If it was your choice, John Brazier, would you choose Brandon Graham, Saquon Barkley, or Jalen Hurts?
I'm taking the fifth on that one.
All right. Hey, John, good work, buddy. By the way,
you didn't ask me about Taylor Swift, though, right?
Tell me about Tay-Tay. What do we need to know about her?
I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Brazier, I appreciate you sending the photo of the ball to DeBella, who's going to bless the balls later today for us.
Yeah, well, I was involved in that for many, many years, so that is it. So hopefully it'll bring us some luck.
I love it. All right, John, wonderful work, pal. Good luck to the squad, obviously. A bunch of us will be down there today, and we'll see the lights and hopefully a display of offensive fury. Thank you, John. Good luck,
man. All right, sounds good, guys.
You got it, man. John. All right, there he is, John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games for the Phils. John, who would you go with? If you had to choose, because they all have a different thing. Jalen was MVP of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Saquon clearly was the best player this year. And Brandon Graham just retired and is one of four people to win two Super Bowls. Who would you choose if you had all three? Who would you choose?
Well, it feels like Jalen is so gigantic, but the heart goes with Brandon Graham. I think Brandon Graham, everyone can get behind that choice, and the fact that he's on his way out, let's give him an opportunity to be regaled as he rings that thing. You know, give him the support he supports the team.
I bet all three. Seltzer, can I get all three at the same time?
That would
be big.
Well, they had Fletcher and Jason last year. The same time.
I mean, it's a...
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, put those thinking caps on. Here's how we know it can't be Sirianni. He's in these... What is it called, the owner's meetings? Or what are
Correct.
These?
Yes. Owner's meetings.
So, if you don't know, today, we think Howie's talking at some point. Tomorrow, Sirianni and Lurie are both scheduled to talk.
Good.
So, we're going to have a lot of Eagles content as we move through this week with Howie, Sirianni, and Lurie. Obviously, the tush push is going to be a major point of emphasis for what is discussed when these guys, you know, speak publicly, whether it's before the vote, which is scheduled for tomorrow, or after the vote. Now, let's listen to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, because he laid out the real possibility that the tush push might go. Listen to Jeremy Fowler yesterday on ESPN.
So here's the deal. In West Palm Beach, NFL owners are meeting today through Tuesday. They will vote on several issues around the league, including the Green Bay Packers' proposal that you cannot push a ball carrier immediately after the snap. I talked to one general manager in the league who believes this will be passed under the guise of player safety. And so Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Some others have mentioned that they think it's a play that could get you hurt more often than others in those scrums there and the tight action you see there. But teams are sort of split on whether that's really a thing or not right now. So that will be debated hotly over the next few days. And look, the NFL owners need a 24-8 majority vote to get this thing passed. So it's hardly a slam dunk. But there are enough people around the league that would like to see it change.
It's pretty amazing it spun back around, John, because we all thought a week ago this thing was dead, meaning the tush push was to stay and no one would have to worry about it. Now, I think it should go.
It's just such a crock.
But I know it's bad for the Eagles
if
it does.
You think it should go?
Yeah.
And that would change everything for us.
Not, what's my phrase, John? Not aesthetically pleasing, but very helpful to the Eagles. So it would hurt the Eagles if it goes. By the way,
are run plays aesthetically pleasing to you?
It's just
are
phony
run
baloney.
Plays less pleasing than passing plays?
It is a run play. Yeah, but
it's a goal line short yardage play, and it's the goal line short yardage play that dictates our entire offensive plan. And so if that changes,
should it? You know what I mean?
Everything changes for this offense.
No, it would hurt the Eagles if it goes.
Absolutely.
Now, the Eagles would still be pretty good at quarterback sneaks.
Look, hold on. The concept is you can't push right away.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that's not circumventable. Like, I'm not worried about that part. Push right away. Okay, so Jalen gets the snap, and then you have to wait a beat before you push. Okay.
Well, I also wonder,
I think,
John,
we can handle that.
You know, the Eagles could handle that if they're allowed to do that. But what I wonder is, does the competition committee have leeway to broaden the scope of what the Packers proposed?
Sure.
I don't know the answer.
People will vote in favor of that.
Well, I don't know. Here's what we do know. The Eagles are getting a little concerned because from an ESPN.com article yesterday, I'm going to read right from this passage, ESPN.com. It says that it was hotly contested yesterday. The votes come on Tuesday. And this article says, during the Sunday afternoon session, Philadelphia Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, assistant general manager John Ferrari, and two head coaches on the competition committee, Sean McVay of the Rams and Sean McDermott of the Bills, gathered in a hallway outside of the ballroom to have a private and animated side conversation about the Packers' proposal. Sounds like the Eagles are getting pretty ticked. And I don't think you would get ticked and be worried if you didn't have some concern.
And do it publicly. That's what surprised me.
That it could get zapped.
Yep.
We'll see, guys. I mean, it's not going to help the Eagles at all if it gets knocked out. It's really been a big advantage. 215-592-9494. Also, your sense of anticipation for the home opener today. It'll be Christopher Sanchez on the mound. And your reaction to the Phillies' first three games, obviously taking 2 of 3 in D.C., dropping one yesterday. Not a well-pitched game by Aaron Nola. Bats did a decent amount until yesterday.
It was also 10, 0 for 9.
Yeah, it was a lot of home runs. Reed, this weird question. Does it concern you that so many of their runs came courtesy of the home run, meaning it's kind of the same?
It's what they are.
It's what they do.
Because they got guys on base, you know, the first couple of innings and could do nothing with it.
Yesterday.
They loaded the bases in the ninth.
Yeah.
Couldn't push one run in there. Yeah, with Marchand.
Yeah, had to bring in, and the Nationals brought in their closer, and then that was that. Let's go to the phones. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really tasteless jabs at your lack of athleticism, Joe, to camera, over the last couple of weeks. Mm. And here's another one. your athletic inertia has inspired me to go back to the gym and actually got a pretty good workout in today.
Good for you, man.
Hold on, Ed.
Did more than 20 push-ups.
Inertia? What athletic inertia are you talking about? That he put a uniform on?
Lack of movement, I'm saying.
He is stationary for the most part. Stationary. But
yeah,
he did put on what looks like an active outfit.
Look, I got the uni on, Ed, and you can watch it on YouTube right now or later today. Watch our show live or watch it back later. Subscribe to Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube. Turn on notifications. You'll never miss the show. It's great.
Of course,
you can also ignore that because you might say, you know, I look like a child in this uniform, and I kind of do. All right, Ed, what do you got on the tush push?
You know what? When I was playing football, you know, all through college, you know, our coaches would tell me, like, low man wins. And even, like, I played receiver, like, that was like 80 pounds ago. But we would do these blocking drills where we would, like, dive at the bottom of a trash can. And it was just like, well, okay, this is kind of ridiculous, but you really saw the benefit. And like, you see, the tush push is like, we do it so well. Like, yeah. Nobody can get lower than, it's so odd to say like nobody can get lower than Jordan Mailata, who's 6'8", but like it's just, nobody can do it better. And I think it's just, sour grapes kind of rule change.
Well, it's clearly sour grapes. There's no question about that. Look, Ed, there's two main things this is about. And neither is featured in the wording the Packers submitted to the league. Number one, it's about the fact the Eagles do it better than everybody else and just won the Super Bowl, in part because of it. Not that game, but they won games in the season because it's part of their arsenal and no one else can do it like the Eagles. The other thing is that it obviously is a what I'll call non-traditional looking NFL football play. And that irks some people. Some people it doesn't bother at all. Some people it irks. Irks me. And I'm an Eagles fan. So I, this is one of those weird ones where as an Eagles fan, I want it to stay. As a football fan, I want it to go. If I was on the competition committee, I would zap it.
The Falcons CEO made a great point, I thought, in that ESPN article where he said he doesn't like that it's only aimed at two teams who can do it well. And that's the Eagles and the Bills.
And Ray, one of my theories has been that other teams may use tight ends next year.
Mm.
And this is where it's like then going to become a bigger bastardization of football. If teams, because at the very end of last year, a couple playoff teams started snapping it to a tight end. Yep. If let's just say you have 28 teams doing that. I don't think the owners and Fox and NBC and CBS and ESPN want, and Netflix or whoever gets the rights, want games where the ball is snapped to the tight end 2 to 4 times a game. I don't think they want that. And I don't think they should want that.
It worked out well for the Eagles.
I'm well aware of that.
Maybe you forgot.
No, I'm well aware of that. All right, Ed, give me an answer, my man. A phrase that's got a body part in there.
My grandfather said it numerous times over my childhood. Try this. It'll put hair on your chest.
Yeah, hair on the chest. Hair on the chest is a good one. No
question. I wanted that so bad.
Hair on your chest?
Growing up, yeah. And you got it.
I got a little
bit. And
then
you shaved little burger patties.
I did.
Onto your nipples.
I don't have much of it. I don't have much.
You got a good amount. Well, you got more than I do.
I mean, I'm more of a man than you are.
I mean, sort of.
I got the testosterone. I got I got the size.
Is that
John? I'm gonna weigh more than you soon. So I'm at like 180 whatever I said last year. Well, I'm what I said 183 or 184 or 185 or 186 whatever I said last week. What
it
are you
didn't
now?
Occur to me that that is amazing.
What
We're
are you?
Close. I'm probably like 210. 205,
I'm going up and you're going down.
I'm stable.
I know.
But if you keep gaining, you're going to pass me, man. That uni's not going to fit
you
much
uni's
longer.
Not going to fit. So you know who's going to take at least 15 to 20 years to pass his dad is A.J. Brown's kid. I got to play this audio. This was awesome over the weekend. So if you missed this, A.J. Brown released audio of him and his son talking because it's baseball season and it's time for baseball practice. And his son is really, 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 really young and really cute. And I want to play this audio. This is a little bit over a minute. This is well worth listening to and enjoying. Clearly, the son does not want to leave the mom. So it's AJ, it's his son. His mom is hovering in the area. It's baseball season. And the kid gets very upset in a funny way. And AJ released this audio. Listen to this.
Hey, June, you want to play baseball?
Yeah.
Huh? June.
What?
You want to play baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah? You want to go to the big league?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That mean you got to go to baseball school, okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, tell mama you're going to see her later. You're going to be baseball all your life. It's all right. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt to be great. So it's going to be okay, though. You understand?
Yeah.
You got to grind for it. That's your first lesson. You understand? It's going to hurt. It hurt to be great, son. She going to be there for lunch or dinner. All right?
Yeah.
Be homeschooling. No parties. No girls. No friends, no nothing, but just baseball. You got it?
No.
You got it?
No.
Okay. Tell mom you see her later.
Hey.
It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt, son. It's gonna hurt. You gonna pay? Hey, It's gonna pay off though, all right?
Yeah.
All right? Man up, you a man?
Yeah.
It's gonna help you feed your family.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Only way you get my check, you gotta get to the big. All right, man.
How great is that? Is that good, man? That is.
I can tell you one person who's not happy, and it's mom, because she's got to deal with the crying baby.
How good is that?
It's very funny.
AJ Brown and his son. That was really, really cool. All right, 215-592-9494.
The torturous things we do to our kids when they're real little just to mess with them is just, it's not right.
It's so good. All right, to the phones we go. Of course, there was like multiple lessons in there from AJ to his kid, which was pretty cool. Look,
poor kid's like two.
I know. By the way, so what are we? If you're just tuning in, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the fact that the tush push could go. We are talking about the fact that, and so your reaction on that, reaction to Phil's first series down in D.C., and also home opener as it happens coming up at 3:05 today. Gates open at 12:35. Phil's got some new additions to the ballpark, including the LED lights, which if it remains a gloomy day, I guess would look better than if it's a big sunny day. By the way, tell me if you guys agree with me on this. I brought up the flag thing earlier. So I am pro there should be a flag for 2024 because they won the division. But I remain anti-2023 flag. Here's my rule. Tell me if you agree or disagree. To have a flag out there, left center field, where the Phillies display the flags, you got to win something. And by win something, I mean one of three things. The World Series, the National League, meaning you get to the World Series, or your division. If you win one of those three, flag. If you don't and you just get the wild card and do not advance to the World Series, no flag. Because otherwise, that's like these. That would be like the equivalent of the Sixers or the Flyers every time they make the playoffs, every time, putting a banner up. And I don't think that should be the standard. John, yes or no? Flag, 2023, thumbs up. Because now you're going to have a flag every year. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're going to have a flag all the time. I don't need that every time.
So what would it be? It would be a playoff flag?
2022 like flag because they made the World Series. 2024 flag because they won the division.
No, but I'm saying like I don't understand what the flag would be for the 2023.
There's no flag.
Right. A goal for every professional team I was ever on was win the division first. Like that's the first line.
But also win something. Like, just for point of reference, here's my thing, and this is about the expansion of the baseball playoffs. Just for point of reference, here are the flags the Phillies had up for many, many years. 1915, 1950, 76, 77, 78, 80, 81, 83. This is what I grew up with. Then you get 93. Then you have a huge gap until 07. I mean, and then they won the five straight divisions, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, one of which is a World Series championship. But now it's like wild cards are flags. I don't dig that. Seltzer, should a wild card without reaching the World Series be a flag?
Absolutely not. No.
Bastardized,
yeah,
right?
Why have flags?
To be like the Sixers as a six seed, which they won't be this year, by the way, putting up a flag for being a six seed.
Yeah, or winning the first round or something. Yeah.
The Sixers need that flag.
Could you imagine if they had seven up there for the 7 years the Sixers made the playoffs with Joel? I mean, come on. Anyway, I'm in a good Phillies mood. I'm just saying that's something I wish they didn't do. 215-592-9494. Coming up at 8:30 today, the great John DiBella, radio legend John DiBella, who for many, and he's been retired now for about a year and a half, for many years, on the day of the home opener, would bless the balls. John will bless the balls for us today. John Brazier has sent a photograph of the balls. So we've got the
virtually?
Photo.
We're doing this virtually almost?
So here's the thing. DiBella is in Nashville. He has retired to Nashville. He will join us by phone, but he will have the balls in front of him. He will bless the balls today to hopefully bring good luck to the Phils, as we hope that the fourth, as John said last week, the fourth time's the charm, we hope. Not a bad start by the Phils in D.C., John, right? Not a bad start.
Well, you win the series. That's expected. I would have liked to see the offense get started a little earlier in every one of these games.
And Aaron Nola pitch better.
Yeah, that would
And by the way,
too.
The back end relievers guys. James, those guys look very shaky to me.
Yeah, we came into the season a little concerned about the depth in the bullpen.
Right?
Yeah, like I definitely don't trust those guys.
I mean, who are we even talking about? I mean, you got a Tanner Banks.
Tanner Banks, right. Jose Ruiz, who had some moments last year,
he did.
But Yeah, it's a lot of those type of guys. Carlos Hernandez, mm-hmm. who they just brought in from the Royals, he didn't look good in his first outing. So, yeah, the depth in the – and even Romano, who's someone we are, like, counting on, quote-unquote, right. you know, we haven't been impressed with
And so the far. Fact that, you know, you're going to get a Taiwan start every fifth game, roughly, until Ranger comes
why
back.
Why did you have to go and ruin everybody's Monday? Forgot about that.
Well, the good news is he doesn't pitch until – the third game of this series, what would that be, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, so today is Ranger. I mean, today is Sanchez.
Off day tomorrow, so it'll be Thursday, right?
Oh, Thursday.
Yeah.
So you're right, Jim. So today is Sanchez, and then you're going to get back to Wheeler on Wednesday, and then hold your breath with Taiwan on Thursday. Let's go to the phones. Hey, by the way, if you're coming down to South Philly today for the game, we want to hear from you. Because obviously a whole, you know, whole new season of home baseball is about to commence, and we look forward to it, and let's hear your excitement. Let's go to Rick in Easton. Rick, good morning.
John DiBella, boy, you know, it brings back memories. DiBella, the ball,
exactly.
and Pierre Robert were great. And I always think of Steve Fredericks when I think of John DiBella. He was in the same era.
Well, they were. I mean, DiBella went a lot longer, obviously. But
oh, God,
you're talking two radio legends. There's no question about that.
Yeah, real quick, I'm not concerned about the tush-push. When you have a 1,750 pounds, we talked about this before, of offensive linemen with four potential All-Pros with Barkley and Hurts, who cares about the tush-push?
Well, here's where I disagree with you, Rick. You might not be going for it on fourth and one from your own 39 anymore.
This team, I think, will morph into whatever they can, and they're a great team, which brings me into the Phillies.
Okay.
I think it's a little too early to be too critical, obviously, after three games. But I think it's also a little too early, Joe, to use the word great in the same word with this lineup and this team just yet. You're using the word great. The Yankees look a little great. The Dodgers look great. The Phillies, let's hold off. Let's pump the brakes on the word great.
Well, for what it's worth, Rick, they won 95 games last year, which I would call them a great team. It was a non-traditional way of getting there. Average months. But
yeah, I get it. Last year, a year older, and you know what? Can we all stop talking about Alec Boehm leaving here? Because I'm going to tell you right now, until Trey Turner can turn that corner, and until Realmuto doesn't kill us offensively, Alec Boehm could be a huge, huge piece of this puzzle. So let's stop with the Alec Boehm's got to go stuff. And real quick, Aaron Nola. Yeah, sometimes he can look like Hamels. Sometimes he can look like Schilling. We know that he's going to be probably second on the all-time strikeout list behind Carlton. We know about the 200 innings he brings to the table. But sometimes he brings that tie one on Walker appearance, and he's got to stop that, or it's going to be a long season.
Well, that's a little aggressive, Rick. But
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, to compare him to Taiwan's not cool. But I'll say that he has had seasons where he's been near average, closer to average than closer to spectacular.
That was a classic Nola game yesterday.
It was not
pitching
good.
Really well, you know, strikeout, and then
I know
the home runs.
I know.
I mean, we've seen it.
It was classic Rhea because he almost gave you six innings. Once again, he doesn't get run support, and then bang, bang, they're down 5-0.
I know.
And with that offensive put out, I kind of thought this game, I hate to say it, is over, and it was, but that's okay. Mm. All right, here's my body part phrase, and I just did it, and this is what you guys do for us fans. You help us get something off our chests.
Oh, yeah, it's another one. Yeah. Something, yeah, get something off the chest. Okay.
It's a really strange idea. Like, the concept that we're representing with get it off your chest, I wonder why we arrived at that saying.
I think it's because it sits on your heart. Like, the issue is heavy on your heart, and you got to get it off your chest.
I think that makes
really
sense.
Smart.
That's good. Yeah, I bet you that's it.
Heavy on the heart.
Yeah.
Wow, Joe.
Thank you.
You just,
heavy on the heart would have been
another,
an answer,
yeah,
too.
Heavy
yeah.
on the heart. That's another one. All right, so there's thick irony today in the air.
So many of these.
They're more than I expected, John. Uh-huh. They really are. So big irony today. We got a lot of people not happy with the tush push, maybe being out. But there's also going to be a lot of Phillies fans that say you got to ban the bats the Yankees are using. Which, by the way, I'd be one of them. I mean, the commissioner cannot let this go on if it proves over a couple more games. They got this ridiculous advantage. If you missed it over the weekend, they're using this thing. People are calling it the torpedo bat. They changed the shape of bats. So it's thicker, closer to where the batter's hands are, kind of where a player could get jammed. Thicker, below what is typically the barrel. And as a result, they're hitting a lot of home runs. Let's just listen, for instance, to their final home run from yesterday Just listen to this for a moment.
High drive, right field. See ya. A three-run home run for Jazz Chisholm. The balls just keep flying out in the Bronx.
All right, they do. So here's the raw data, guys. Three games for the Yankees, John, 15 home runs.
Tied a record. Yeah.
Now, we know they've got a lot of home run hitters, and Aaron Judge
does not use the bat.
And he already was the best home run hitter in baseball. Already. It's the 60-something a couple years ago, had a whole bunch last year. But there are other players used in it, only on the Yankees. James, how many games or weeks does it take before, if they see this sort of clip continue, that baseball says no mas?
Yeah, it's a weird spot like that they're in, because to the point you made before, it's really hard to change things on the fly in a season
and
like that.
And it's technically legal.
That's my point.
Because for those, if you're just tuning in, the way they constructed the bat actually fits the specifications of baseball regarding length and width. I mean, length and weight.
So I think that if this continues and they keep it in home runs like this, they have to do something. Like, it will be talked about all season long. It'll become the story of the season.
It will.
If they don't do something. But at the same time, I don't know how they do what they do. You know, if the Yankees can say, hey, we're within the rules here. What do you want to, like, so it's a pickle.
There's a Phillies tie-in. So the Athletic did a story.
Okay.
And they spoke, it just said, veteran Phillies hitter.
Okay.
Said a company came in during spring training, company owned by Eric Gagne. Remember the,
The
former closer?
Great closer.
And he thought, the veteran Phillies hitter, thought it was a fad. He wrote it off at the time, and he called his bat guy after what the Yankees did this weekend.
I'm sure he did. Well, look, veteran Phillies hitter, you got about five or six.
Yeah,
you
I was thinking Kyle.
Harper, Schwarber, Harper, yeah. Castellanos, Trey Turner, Real Muto. I mean, they're your veteran Phillies hitters, yep. I guess. I mean, Kepler, technically.
So is there flexibility in terms of the shape of every bat? Like the torpedo bat, do they make them individually for each player?
I believe so.
Where his sweet spot is?
That was the idea with Volpe, the shortstop of the Yankees, that they realized he was getting jammed more than most.
Yeah.
And so they put the barrel closer to his hands.
So the torpedo bat part, it's shaped differently for each guy who's
using it
based on their swing.
I'm not certain, but I think the answer is yes.
Okay.
And, it's ingenious, but it's also problematic. 215-592-9494. Also problematic is this weather situation today. So, James, if you get a weather report or Rhea, let us know. But here's what we knew as of a little bit ago. The rain is scheduled to come in at 5. The game starts at 3:05. You know, maybe you get to the seventh inning, maybe you get to the eighth inning. They're also saying it can be pretty heavy rain. Well, not instantaneously, but as the day goes on. I was a little surprised they didn't move the game up. And I just thought it made sense.
It's raining now.
Yeah. So,
or spitting at least.
I was a little surprised they didn't just announce yesterday, let's play the game at 1 or 2. Anyway, 3:00 game, 3:05, a lot of festivities, obviously. It's always exciting when it's the home opener, particularly when you got a good team. Phillies are certainly, at the very least, a very good team. The question is whether they're a truly great team. But, we'll see over the next bunch of months. But 3:05 today, first pitch, and that'll be Sanchi. And, James, you think he is their second-best starter now, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, yeah. I think definitively. I think he's a Cy Young contender.
Well,
I think
that's can't how go definitively yet, but he might be. I mean,
I think after this season, I think we'll all say definitively. Okay. It's my prediction.
Let's go to the phones. John and Maniac right now. Good morning, John.
Joe, long time no rap. You know, I was thinking, I haven't talked to you since before the Super Bowl, and I wondered why that is, like why I didn't call in, and it's just because I've just been so happy.
Good.
I've just been so happy since we won that I really realized I only call you when I'm angry about stuff, and I need to change that.
Why are you angry today then, John?
That's a good question.
No, I'm not. The irony is I'm actually feeling good. Despite Aaron Nola's catastrophic loss and the Sixers being in a complete disaster and the fact that we just fired the Flyers coach, I guess I am angry.
John, I will mail you $10 in the next I won't mail it in the next 10 seconds, but you have 10 seconds to tell me the Sixers' 5 starters last night. Go.
No. I don't know.
All right, check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the Sixers' starters last night. Jared Butler, Lonnie Walker IV, Ricky Council IV,
okay.
Justin Edwards, Adem Bono. I mean, that is It is staggering. And by the way, Quentin Grimes sat out for rest.
Yeah.
What does he have to rest for?
There, he's winning because he's a winner.
He's got to score too many points for them to lose.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just saying. What a joke.
Joe, remember, we lost on purpose for years to be here.
I know. But they weren't supposed to be back here again this soon.
Yes. Well, you know, listen, it's a new day. I feel like, you know, we're giving money to linebackers and running backs. You know what I mean? We got Trey Turner leading off. We, our best flyer is a 19-year-old Russian kid. It's an I'm calling you when I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's a new day, Joe. So I just actually really wanted to call about Lizardo. I think actually he might be the second best starter. I know Sanchez looks great. He looked great at the end of last season. I know he looks great in the summer and everything, or the spring, I know. But I think Lizardo looked really good, and I think they snuck him in on a kind of a safe first game where it was not the home opener and it wasn't the opening day thing. But he looked nasty, and I think this team's going to be dirty. I think they have the best rotation in baseball. Maybe the Mariners are better, but they're not going to be a problem with us. I think we're going to come down to beating the Dodgers, and I don't care who the AL team is. I think this is the year. I said this over the weekend. I think the fact that they sent Stubbs down, the fact that Trey's leading off, the fact that they have no more daycare, they made comments about that bunch of winners in that room that just want to win, there are no more games. I think I have a great feeling for the Philly season this season, and I love your show. And last thing, Matt Strom, he's a great pitch. I like him because he's talking to himself because he's a total head case.
Oh, a head case. That's another good one. A head case. All right, you got it, John. Always good to hear from. I don't think it applies to Strom. Might have applied to Hoffman at the end last year in the postseason. But head case. Who's the biggest head case?
Boehm.
All right, he was. Who is the biggest head case in the history of Philadelphia sports?
Brizgalov.
He's one.
He's up there,
Ben's got to be up there. Yeah. Fultz has to be up there.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Aguilar had his moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one of those three, right?
Yeah. How do you beat Ben?
Yeah, Ben, I mean, he wouldn't play.
The one thing I'll say in Ben's defense. Here's the only thing I'll say in his defense. At least he couldn't shoot, meaning he stunk at it. Fultz could shoot and then stop shooting.
But
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason Ben Simmons would try to get to the lane. He could not make a shot from the outside. Markelle Fultz could not bring himself to shoot, which was a huge part of how he became the number one pick in the draft.
That one was strange.
Brizgalov was another one.
But
Rhea,
the Ben thing, when they tried to convince us that he didn't need to shoot.
That
was an all-timer.
It was. Because you could just see it play out, the way the defenses were sagging, the whole deal. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we'll get you set more for the ballpark today, and obviously the return of the Phils. First game since game two of the DS, I guess, last year. Also, Bryson Stott weighing in over the weekend about the daycare situation. John DiBella will bless the balls. That's coming up at 8:30. And your reaction to the Phillies' first weekend, plus more on the tush push. It could go. How ticked does that make you? Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie, on the day of the home opener on 94 WIP.